tonight, it is my pleasure to introduce Gary. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay, hey everybody. I'm an addict and I am Gary. And I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which is where I got clean the first week of January of 1987. That means I have been clean almost 39 years. Nobody's more shocked than me. By the way, I would like to blame the Beatles. See my shirt? I would like to blame the Beatles for my addiction, but that's not going to work here because none of you will believe me. However, I want to give you a little history of how I got here, but mostly spend my time sharing my gratitude really for these secular meetings because I came in, like probably a number of you, or even many of you, a devout non-believer in anything supernatural, rejecting the religion my parents raised me in. And I came by it pretty easily. I grew up in a neighborhood where the guys on my block had parents who had tattooed numbers on their arm. And that came from Eastern Europe during World War II. They survived the Holocaust, and at dinners at their home sometimes, they would talk about what their experience, not in great depth, but they definitely did not believe in a God. And I started questioning it myself at the age of 12, 13. When I was 13, Martin Luther King got assassinated. My mother swallowed a whole bottle of pills to try and kill herself. Robert Kennedy got, not the one that's the health guy, Robert Kennedy got killed in June. And I began to doubt that the adults around me had a fucking clue as to what was going on. And my rebelliousness kicked in. We had the Vietnam War going on. I got very involved in the anti-war movement here in New York. I grew up in New York, and as a result of my mom doing what I just mentioned, my home became very unstable. And within the next 6 months, I started smoking hash with people in my. There was a lot of drugs in my neighborhood. No shortage. And I fell in love with getting high, like from the very first time, and wound up selling drugs and using drugs and went from one drug to the other. And my parents threw me out when I was 17 because I wouldn't obey their rules. I moved around. I joined the military. I got kicked out of, sort of got kicked out of the military for choking a chief petty officer. I also overdosed while I was in school in the military. They still gave me an honorable discharge. I really didn't pay much of a price compared to some of the stories I've heard in Narcotics Anonymous in all the years I've been going. I also got married too often. I got married when I was 20, and that didn't work out. And then I got married when I was like 29, I think. And my wife and I, the second wife, we had a son. And in 1986, things started really falling apart. I was down in Florida with my wife and my kid, and the cocaine was just running through South Florida like mad. My neighbor was my dealer. And what happened was, my wife got sick of my bullshit and my lying and the money disappearing and my emotional disconnection. I had at the time I had a master's degree in audiology, and so I thought I was okay because I was like educated and worked in a health profession, and I thought that really, for the most part, the problem was other people didn't like respect the fact that I need to get high and like I'm going to do it until there's a consequence that I'm not willing to have. And that consequence happened because I abandoned my wife and my kid off of a threat that she made to me. I thought I'd teach her a lesson and disappear. Stupid. And I disappeared from Florida to California to get high with a friend of mine that I grew up with. I came back with my tail between my legs, and the marriage counselor said, "Gary, here's a phone number for Narcotics Anonymous. If you're serious about being a dad, I would start going to those meetings because I think you have a drug problem." And that caught my attention, and I called the helpline from that phone number she gave me, and I went to my first meeting the first week of January of 1987. And what I saw there were people from New York, even though I was in Florida, in a nice, comfortable setting where the coffee was good and we could smoke cigarettes and the couches were comfortable. And none of the women were my wife, who was very angry with me, very, very angry. And that, by the way, didn't stop. And I picked up a white key tag, and I listened to what was going on, and I kind of liked it. And I think on Saturday night, this past Saturday night, I shared about what happened during my first year. I'm not going to really try and repeat that for those of you who had to listen to me on Saturday night, but right away, the connection that I had, I had some solid advantages over other people who come in, because I think working in a healthcare profession, it was easy to me to latch on to empathy, caring about other people, because I had to do that with my patients. I had to be a good listener and that kind of thing. So during that period of time, I started feeling like Narcotics Anonymous was a good place for me. Now, the very first meeting I was at, they closed the meeting with the Lord's Prayer. And I was like, huh? And then over time, I started having the usual thing that most of us do, which is we hear the literature say this is not a religious program. But it doesn't look like that. It looks like religion in so many ways, particularly in the literature. So here's the deal for me. I wasn't an angry atheist. I was someone who needed the help of you guys, because if I was not going to be able to get high anymore, I needed your company. I needed your support. I needed to hear your stories. And I needed to have things to do. I needed to keep busy at night. Instead of getting high or sitting around and watching a ball game, I needed to like go to meetings. And that's what I did. And I got a sponsor. And that sponsor really helped me a lot, took me through all the 12 steps over the first couple of years. And I kind of started to like being clean. I started feeling clearer, more steady. Now, the wife and the kid, I really wanted to stay married, not to her, but I wanted to be a dad to the kid, you know? And my wife kicked me out when I was 8 months clean. She didn't care whether I was clean or not. She fucking hated me, and rightfully so. You know, I disappointed her. This is someone who I, attempted to make amends to when I got to the ninth step, didn't want to hear about it. We struggled for a long time communicating. But when she kicked me out, I went to a meeting over that weekend, and I shared what was going on, that she kicked me out. And I probably cried a little bit. I'm not really sure if I did or I didn't, but I did share about it. And a few of the men came up to me at the end of the meeting, who I barely knew, and said, "I've been in your shoes, Gary. My wife, and I split up. We have two kids, or three, or one, or whatever. And I will tell you this, Gary. If you stay clean, there is no judge that will keep you from seeing your kid. This meant a lot to me because suddenly being clean and trying to stop being such a dirt bag, trying to stop lying and taking the shortcut and everything, NA gave me some discipline that I really needed. And so what happened was I decided to stay clean in spite of the pain I was in. And I became a responsible father. And that probably carried me through any hardship I had along the way. I mean, during the years that followed, mostly really good stuff, but also some pain. I was diagnosed with testicular cancer when I was clean a bunch of years. I used to get kidney stones that were awful, and I'd wind up in emergency rooms screaming and cursing until the pain medication would take it away temporarily. But most of the really good stuff was I got to participate with my boy. He was very athletic like I was, and I was coaching his teams and stuff like that. It was really like wonderful. It gave, I used to hear people talk about a life beyond your wildest dreams, and I thought that was a bit of hyperbole, but for the most part, I started living the life I wanted to have. I started creating a life for myself that felt worthwhile. It wasn't just my work, which was always very emotionally satisfying, except for the patients that would come in that hadn't bathed. I didn't like them at all. But what happened for me was I stayed clean long enough for it to really become who, like my identity. I want to share this. I'm usually not nervous sharing in front of people anymore. I think that happened because I think in year nine, I went to the World Convention of Narcotics Anonymous in St. Louis. Long story short, I wound up, I had wasn't a speaker, but I was asked to speak because somebody didn't show up. And I went into a room with like 400 people in the audience, and I had to speak on intimacy and recovery, which, considering how many times I've been married, which at the current number is five, I probably had more than my share of intimacy in and out. So I'm not looking at the clock. Oh, good, I have a few minutes. One of the things I heard in Narcotics Anonymous, and I hope if you're new, that you'll take this for what it's worth. This has to be a safe place for everybody. I was part of a home group where it was not safe for everybody, specifically older men preying on young female addicts, new in recovery. It was awful. And I had to take a stand to be one of the good people that like fucking stands up for shit. I used to hear people say, if you don't, where's it go? If you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for anything. That's what it is. Yeah. So, I wasn't always the most popular person in a home group when I would call out people for like making things unsafe. And sure enough, my Freethinkers South home group and the free other Freethinkers meetings on secular meeting list, we usually include a safety statement to make sure that new people are at least aware that we fucking care about a safe place, that it really is important that anybody can come into our meetings and not feel like they're going to be treated like a piece of meat. So, that's been important to me. I started going to the secular meeting called Free Thinkers on Friday nights coming out of Asheville when the pandemic hit. And my friends Maude and Austin, who I've known my entire recovery pretty much, They used to live in Florida and now they're up in Asheville. I also lived up in the Asheville, North Carolina area. And so I'm really part of, I actually living in Florida, I was the IT chair in Western North Carolina, like weird. But that's, the way it goes with barriers and internet and shit. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that the most important actions I've taken besides working the steps is doing service work always. Always grab a service position. We used to fight for service positions when I got clean. Sometimes you'll hear some of the people who do service express frustration that other people aren't stepping up. My guess is it starts with sponsorship. If sponsors don't suggest to their people they sponsor to try and get service commitments, I always thought like having a service commitment like meant that I would stay clean for for that period of time because I owe it to Narcotics Anonymous. I'm super grateful to Narcotics Anonymous for my whole life. I'm going to tell this one last story and then I'm going to stop talking. Almost 9 years ago, I moved back to South Florida and I was looking for a place to stay, to live. And I had retired at the age of 59 to be a grandfather to my grandchildren. And I'll skip that part. But anyway, I was looking for a place to live. And I went on Zillow and this woman named Bernice was looking for a female roommate, but the price was right for the rent and the location was good for me. It was near my home group. And I got her to agree to meet with me. I brought my granddaughter, all 3 years old of her. She was awful cute. I brought her to the interview. And this is what happened. Bernice says to me, "So tell me about yourself." And I said, "Well, I'm 60, whatever I was, years 62 years old. I'm starting Social Security this month. I'm a grandfather, as you can see. I pick up my granddaughter several days a week from preschool until the parents come home. I play tennis and I go to meetings. I figured I'd get this one out of the way." And she goes, "What kind of meetings?" I said, "Narcotics Anonymous meetings." She looks at me and she goes, "How long are you clean?" I was like, "What kind of question is that? Jesus, how'd she know that language?" I said, "30 years." She said, "What was your drug of choice?" I was like, "Jeez, what's going on now?" And I said, "I don't know. What do you got?" I was never very particular, and I'm still not particular, except that I don't use. I mean, tried to make a joke of it. I didn't know what was going on. And she points to a photograph on the table of her daughter. She says, "That's my daughter, Alex, and she has 5 years clean in NA." And that was the beginning of our friendship, our romance, and our marriage. And we've been together now all 8 and a half and almost 9 years. She's the most wonderful person. She went through her daughter's addiction and she didn't know what to do. You know what she did? She started reading everything she could in the codependency world and went to meetings and got help for herself and read her way through cognitive behavioral therapy and all this kind of shit so she could like deal with this like crazy teenager that she had. And so we have a nice partnership, very nice. And I strongly, advise people if you've been married 4 times and it hasn't worked out, don't give up until the fifth one because that's the one that like worked for me. I'm not giving marital advice. Don't even just ignore that last thing. So the secular thing, awesome. Just awesome. I go to meetings. I don't have to read literature or hear literature full of deities and things that I don't believe in. This is a cool place for me. Thank you for inviting me tonight, and I hope that helps somebody, especially if you're new. I'll just end with this. They said when I came in, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle. Thought the miracle word was a little hyperbole too, but and then they added, don't pick up no matter what. And no matter what is everything. Thanks.